PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, here we go. Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling with Drewcy Cogburn and Drew.
Yo, dude, what up?
That's your new intro music.
I get some dubstep outcast.
Yes.
Some dubcast.
Ayo!
Some outstep.
Boom, look at it.
I think outstep's better.
Yeah.
Dubcast, that sounds like...
Too straightforward.
Yeah.
It also sounds like I'm sending my music to my television.
Exactly.
Okay, so we are doing a spillover bonus episode. We're doing a spillover bonus episode where we're talking about some news stories that we've missed over the last few days. For example, Drew, they announced the highest earning actors and actresses in Hollywood like they do every year. Last year's highest earners. Did you happen to see who they were?
No.
Who was it? Who's number one? Because that's not even the
obviously.
Point. That's not the ultimate point of story. Mark Wahlberg was the highest paid. He made $68 million last year.
Fucking what?
Yep. Before it was The Rock, now it's Mark Wahlberg. And Emma Stone was the highest paid actress. But here's the story. Mark Wahlberg made $68 million last year, number one highest paid actor. Emma Stone, highest paid actress, $26 million a year.
Oh!
What's that all about?
More talented as well.
I know, right? You want to get into some numbers? Here we go. With a combined $488 million. $488 million. The top 10 actors... outranked the top 10 actresses who earned $172 million.
So the dudes get paid like double.
More than double. As a matter of fact, just three women surpassed the $20 million mark, one down from the year before, and their cumulative total is down 16%. By comparison, the top 16 men each earned more than $20 million. Where is that? Where's that good? Those good numbers? There we go. There was another... Oh, I missed it. All right, anyway. Big part of the reason why men make more money acting than women do is because there are more roles, more leading roles, more opportunities for them to do so.
Mm-hmm.
A study was done. Women accounted for 37% of major characters in the 100 top grossing 2016 films. And while that's up 3 percentage points from the year before... the number of female characters with speaking roles went down a percentage point.
Oh, you just come on, just stand over there and look pretty.
Yes,
thanks.
Yes, yes. A recent USC Vertibi School of Engineering's Signal Analysis and Interpretation Lab did a study. They used an algorithm to look at 1,000 screenplays. Of those 1,000 screenplays, 37,000 lines went to men, 15,000 went to women. Men... accounting for roughly 70% of all film dialogue. And that crosses over to the monies. And it's just weird when a population is over 50% women and more women than men consume media. So you would think they might want to cater to more than half the market.
Well, so here's the thing, Chris.
What's the thing, Drew?
Dudes who don't like other dudes... will still, like, go see their movies and whatnot. When women don't like other women, they won't do... They won't even touch the same air they're breathing.
So we're just gonna go to, I mean, that's just using a gender stereotype to excuse away...
a gender stereotype.
A gender inequality. So,
yes. Yes.
So,
correct.
So I disagree with that premise.
Awesome.
It's the same as being like, oh, Hillary can't be president. What if she's on her period?
But she can be president.
Blow up, you know? We can't have a woman president.
And she's not going to blow up anything.
What is she going to do? Change the curtains in the Oval Office?
So what if she does? Anything's better than our current president.
Oh, I wasn't even going that route. I was just talking about straight up sexism.
I mean, I'd rather have a dog as our president than this motherfucker.
So you hear about the Warner Brothers DC stuff that's been cracking the last couple days?
I have.
It's been some interesting shit.
Uh-huh.
First off, Warner Brothers announced a new sort of DC filmmaking banner. Has yet to have a name officially, but we might as well, knowing DC, we can just call it Elseworlds.
Sure,
and
yeah.
And they're making DC movies that are not part of the DCEU.
Well, so yeah, Elseworlds. I mean, DC already did that.
Elseworlds is their comic book thing.
Yeah,
they just don't have an official name for the movie, for whatever. When you see one of these movies, what's going to pop up in front of it?
They'll call it Elseworlds.
Probably.
You already fucking own the title.
Probably, right? It's a good title.
And that'd be awesome.
That makes sense.
Then maybe I can get a pirate Batman. Maybe we can get a
Superman Red Sun. Yeah, it has Superman. Already been talked about apparently for years now in Warner Brothers trying to figure out a way to make that. It could mean a version of The Dark Knight Returns. It could mean all sorts of things. What it does mean is fitting under that banner will be this Joker origin story movie that they announced.
Now that I heard about.
Yes, this made big news yesterday when it broke. Everyone leading with Martin Scorsese's making this Joker movie. Not entirely
producing.
True. He's producing it. They are citing his late 70s, early 80s stuff as the aesthetic that they're going for.
Okay.
Imagine Travis Bickle as the Joker. Mm-hmm. All right. But this is right. I think this is a terrible idea. I think from top to bottom, this is such a terrible idea. First off, part of what makes the Joker so great is we don't know his origin. And they're already fucking with that now in the new comic run that they're doing. Bruce Wayne is currently uncovering.
With the new 52?
Yeah.
They started that with the new 52.
The new 52. That's the current run, right?
No, that was last year's
run. No, the new run. The newest run is when they, like, I mean, they started at the very, very end. It's a teaser for what was to
they've
come.
They've always teased a Joker origin in Batman.
No, they're going down a road of definitively Batman now knows his name and he's
fuck that shit. No. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, no, no.
Well, then why would you want to see a movie version of that?
Here? I don't.
This is what makes, I mean, the worst things about the Rob Zombie Halloween movies is that this is what made Mike Myers Mike Myers. The best part of the John Carpenter one is that he's just evil incarnate. He's just a kid who's just a bad seed grew up to be an evil monster.
Which is totally fine.
That's what the Joker is. The Joker is not even a person. He's
he's an agent of chaos.
Yes, he's chaos personified. He's anarchy in clown suits.
Uh-huh, correct.
So you want to show us how, he...
No, I don't give a fuck. Yeah, and really. Just the fact that... God, DC is so fucking thirsty, Chris.
So thirsty. It's crazy.
They're so thirsty. They're like, Martin, please save us. And you know what? It's going to be shit.
Well, I don't even think... Sorry. So first, I think it's a bad idea. And then the director they got is like, I don't even know why. Todd Phillips, best known for the Hangover movies, old school. And when he dips his toes in anything thriller or drama, we end up with Hangover Part 3 or War Dogs, which is... Like, okay, I think it's fine. He's an okay filmmaker, but do I want to see Todd Phillips's The Joker?
No.
I don't.
No. Not nowhere near dark enough, way too funny than it should be.
It's going to be, right? Just because of The Joker, so you're going to go for a comedy guy? A dark comedy guy?
No. You have to go the darkest of comedies. Like, so dark, it's like, we don't think it's funny, but he does.
I'd see a Takeshi Miike Joker movie.
Yes. Yeah. Now you see, boom, that's the man who should be making the Joker movie.
Right? There you go.
Yes.
So make that happen.
Think of the darkest, most fucked up movie you can think of, and then pick that director.
I mean,
yes.
That's still me aching.
I know, right? I know.
Gross.
Yeah.
So
many fluids.
Too many. Bodies don't make that many fluids. Now this is interesting. This came out. It is possible now, which then may explain some of the other stuff we heard from Casey Affleck, that the Batman will be under this Elseworlds banner, because Matt Reeves let loose in a podcast interview. I think it was a podcast. Let loose in an interview that when he was approached about it, he was told explicitly it's not part of the Justice League, that it's its own standalone thing. Now, we can interpret that two ways. A, it's under this different banner where we can have a whole different person playing Batman, and it's not supposed to be Ben Affleck.
Which is fine.
Or he could mean that the story that he's working on or that they have could be like Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman isn't really tied to Batman vs. Superman or Justice League. You know, the stories aren't, you don't need to see one and see the other.
No, exactly.
So it could be the same thing. Maybe this Batman movie takes place in the 90s. Maybe it's whatever reason, the story is just completely standalone from the events of the Justice League movie. That's possible. In the same way that, did he even do that? They don't even really do that. Guardians of the Galaxy, sort of, Volume 2, is sort of a standalone from everything else. There's really not much in there that's connected to everything or setting other things up, really, outside of the Nova Corps and setting up more space stuff.
Exactly, yeah.
Setting up conceptual stuff, but not plot stuff.
No, plot stuff, no. But setting up the Nova Corps because we need, we need more space.
Yeah.
B, if we are doing...
and then Adam Warlock. They set up Adam Warlock in an Easter egg.
And if we are doing, you know, Marvel proper in space... Then we need Nova from the Nova Corps. Hmm. You know, we need our Adam Warlocks. We need our other blah, 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 blah. But like I said, not plot points per se.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's what he means. Who knows? So we'll find out.
I mean, that would be in the step in the right direction. Because the more I see a Justice League, the more I think people should just stay the fuck away from it.
Just stop it, right? Just, guys, just do your own things. Let your movies exist in their own worlds and stop trying to connect.
And if they happen to connect... Good for you.
Yeah, that's cool. Making fun little connections. Like, oh, I didn't expect that, as opposed to laboring over making all this stuff connect, right? That's a better idea. Michael K. Williams, that dude with that crazy scar on his face. He was in Boardwalk Empire, The Wire.
Yes.
This guy. Very handsome gentleman, except he has a crazy scar down the middle of his face when he got slashed when he was younger. He was in Han Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Not anymore.
That's, yes, you picked up on my my verbiage, my sentence structure.
You know, seriously, that whole Han Solo movie thing.
It's getting weird. It's going to be interesting what the final movie ends up looking like. Ron Howard's Han Solo. Well, what had happened was scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be a busy man. I see him in fucking a lot. That motherfucker's been getting a lot of work since The Wire.
He works. This is from Deadline. They got the exclusive, apparently. That's what it says here. Williams said that the revamped production schedule conflicted with his commitment to the spy drama at the Red Sea Diving Resort, his new movie now shooting in South Africa with Ben Kingsley and Chris Evans. I felt great about what I created with the directors that I worked with, said Williams. It is what it is. He goes on, when Ron Howard got hired to finish out the film, there were some reshoot issues that needed to be done in regards to my character in order for it to match the new direction which the producers wanted Ron to carry the film in, Williams told Deadline. And that would have required me on a plane a month ago to London, to Pinewood, to do reshoots, but I'm here on location in Africa. It's scheduling. I'm not going to be back on the market until the end of November after the Sundance TV series Happen Leonard, speaking of him being busy, and for them to wait that long for me, that would have pushed back the release date, which I believe is in May 2018. They wanted me now. I couldn't go, so they had to clip.
It happens.
Apparently he played a half-human, half-animal in the film, and that, quote, we created a kick-ass character, in my opinion. I'm proud of it, end quote.
Word up. So there you go. It's a shame we're never going to see it.
Never going to see it now. Never, ever, ever. Just in our dreams, true. Just in our dreams. Channing Tatum wants to make that Gambit. He's the only one in the world who wants a Gambit movie.
Please don't. Just don't do it. Just don't.
Well, here's his quote now. I think now we may be getting an R-rated Gambit.
Even worse.
Like, why? All right, so here
there's goes. No, he wasn't even that violent. There's no reason.
I know. There's the no fuck? Reason. No reason. That's chasing. That's chasing something. All right, Channing Tatum, quote, we lit a fuse on the first one and just blew it completely out of the water. I think we got lucky. We got hit with some setbacks and was all for a good reason. We were trying to do something completely different. We were trying to do something that this genre of movie hasn't seen before. We kept running into the same problems. And then Deadpool and Logan came through and kicked the doors down. And now we're really getting to do some of the things we've wanted to do with the script. We just sort of started over. So it sounds like that was sort of a, they were trying to go for a harder direction in the beginning, and then Logan and Deadpool success. Now Fox is now, okay, you can do it. Got a hand of the Fox with these Marvel offshoots. At least they're trying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they don't always, they're not always a success, but when they are, they fucking,
when they are, they're good, but they can come up with some stinkers. I don't think Gambit currently even has a director. For a while, Rupert Wyatt, who did, is that Rupert Wyatt or Rupert Sanders? I think Rupert Wyatt did the first Planet, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, whichever one was the first one. Then he dropped off. Doug Liman was going to do it for a while, but then he dropped off to do Justice League Dark. And maybe Wyatt will return, because Rupert Wyatt in a sci-fi movie called Captive State. His scheduling. Again, scheduling out of the way. Maybe now it's further down the road, he can come back to Channing Tatum and they can make it happen again. So we'll
just
see.
Just don't.
In the meanwhile, Drew doesn't want it to happen at all. Next year, Fox already has in 2018 a New Mutants movie.
Okay.
Deadpool 2 is next year. Uh-huh. They're shooting it now. Someone died making it.
Yeah, they did.
Rest in peace. Rest in power. X-Men : Dark Phoenix comes out next year as well. From first-time director Simon Kinberg, who he produced pretty much every Bryan Singer, all the X-Men movies, going back to the first one.
Oh, he produced them all.
He's produced them all.
And now he's like, hey, I can direct.
That's worked out for some people, not for others. Matthew Vaughn produced Guy Ritchie's first two or three movies. Oh, and then when Guy Ritchie decided, he started working on Layer Cake, and he said, you know what, I'm not doing Layer Cake. Matthew Vaughn stepped in. Now he got Kick-Ass and Kingsman.
Maybe it'll be a good thing.
It could be.
Maybe.
Or maybe he's the one thing really holding the X-Men movies back, and now we're going to get the absolute worst version. No, that's that Brett Ratner one. No, that's that X-Men Origins Wolverine one.
Those two are terrible.
Speaking of franchises, movies shouldn't be franchises. Restaurants are franchises.
Yes.
Department stores are franchises.
Correct.
Movies are not franchises.
They shouldn't be treated that way. But yet!
And yet. So, Friday the 13th reboot. The next Friday the 13th movie will officially be the 13th Friday the 13th film.
Don't care.
And they were going to reboot it again after rebooting it the last one. Mm-hmm. And it just got canceled.
Good. Because nobody cares.
There are horror films out there. Not horror films, excuse me. Horror film fans out there, excuse me. You and I, we're not really fans of these movies. I don't even like the Friday the 13th movies. I think they're, I mean, Jason X is fun. I like the campier, more ridiculous they are, the better.
Yeah.
Original ones, they're not good.
They're not good. They're not all that scary either.
Yeah, they're poorly made. I also came to them later. So if I saw them when I was a really young kid, they may have scared me.
Well, yeah, dude, when I was a really young kid, Gremlins scared me.
Yeah, that's very true. When I was really young, the It movie scared me. Oh,
yeah!
You go back and watch it now. It is
what?
It's the hokiest, cheesiest, cheapest made-for-TV movie ever. Tim Curry is great.
Well, Tim Curry.
Because he's Tim Curry. but everything around him is just so, like, stunningly bad.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Incredibly bad. Yeah. Anyway. Friday the 13th, blah, blah, blah. Here, this is from a screenwriter who was attached to the Friday the 13th movie that was going to be produced by Paramount. He says, I know Platinum Dunes was ready to go. They were enthusiastic. I heard various things. Paramount changed their mind about the 80s setting. They wanted more mythology. Also, there was some corporate changeover in the ranks, and the people who were in charge when I was hired were no longer there. That's a big thing that happens, Drew.
Yeah.
When studio heads change over every few years, and any projects that they greenlight that aren't done yet, the next guy or gal usually kills them. Because if they do great, it's a no-win for them.
Yeah.
If that movie does great, it's their predecessor's success. But if it fails, it's under their watch. Yeah. They allowed it to go through. So they might as well just nix them all and like get their own things going. That's how a lot of movies get canned that way. Originally, according to this guy, they wanted to do a straight-up, for the 13th one, really straight-up throwback to the original ones, 1980 setting, Camp Crystal Lake. But the quote twist, their thing being, for whatever reason, they were gonna push the events 6 months later, so it was gonna happen at that camp, but during the winter, so it would have been snow everywhere. So, blood in the snow.
I mean, I like Blood in the Snow, and I've seen 30 Days a Night. That's probably the best iteration of it. And
that movie sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Man, that movie sucked.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually my favorite part of the article. I find this fascinating. This is how you fuck up making movies. I don't know how you do this, but yeah, fuck up. In exchange for letting Warner Brothers co-produce Interstellar, Paramount was given full control over a new Friday the 13th movie, as well as a potential South Park movie sequel for the next 5 years. That was more than 4 years ago, and neither feature showing any sign of moving forward. Paramount appears to have missed its opportunity.
That's how you fuck up.
They had a chance to make a South Park movie. They could have made a Friday the 13th movie. They had 5 years to get these movies started. Not even completed, just started. And they fucked up.
There's no need for another South Park movie.
No, there's not.
They're killing it in 30-minute increments. When you get any longer than that, South Park tends to fade.
Although I do like that movie.
It's
not like I revisit it.
But
and the jokes don't age well.
No, they don't. Well, it's because they're very topical.
Very
on
topical,
point.
Very timely.
Yeah.
It's like, Saddam Hussein jokes.
It's like, oh, I get it. Saddam Hussein, yeah, he's dead now.
Martin Lawrence says he doesn't think that Bad Boys 3 is going to happen.
Okay.
He's just not feeling it.
Sure.
So that's that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm kind of am too. It's a Bad Boys 2 is fun, but if Michael Bay's not doing it, no, I'm not into it.
Yeah, no.
That's his
thing. I want Bayhem, damn it.
Bayhem. It's the best version of Bayhem, the Bad Boys movies. Yeah. Those were the best.
Yeah.
Bad Boys 2 is like the best movie. Ugh.
One of.
Hate. It's the cinema of hate. It's so good. Last story, you see that teaser trailer for Channel Zero Season 2?
I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
You didn't see it?
I haven't seen it yet.
All right, we're going to take a quick pause so Drew can watch it. And we're back. Drew, what did you think of that trailer?
Pretty fucking crazy, man.
Pretty weird, dude.
Like, I'm not really into... it's weird. I'm like you. You know, I'm not normally into horror or... the scary stuff.
Per se, necessarily.
But for some reason, like, it's just... this Channel Zero stuff, it's not like it's super scary to me. It's just fucking weird and interesting.
It's like, it's more like a Twilight Zone or even like Black Mirror type stuff.
Yeah.
But with some horror elements, with some crazy images.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, like, the first season of American Horror Story. Or
no,
stuff
don't spend that, man.
Sorry, stuff like that. Where,
crazy.
Where, it, like, I mean, yes, it's American Horror Story, but yes. It's not scary per se. It's just weird and fucked up.
That first season of American Horror Story, the first like 4 or 5 episodes, where I had more in common with like Twin Peaks than something like Saw or whatever.
Uh huh.
Yeah, like these shots of I guess it's John Carroll Lynch's face like swelling. You're doing it again.
Sorry.
Give me that. What's wrong with you? That's why they give it to the kids, because they can't stop. They do it. Yeah, his face is in the box. And he's all weird looking.
Yeah, it looks like it's a plastic face. Like, it's not his face. It's his face, but it's not his face.
Like a mask.
Yeah, it looks like a polyvinyl mask.
Like the many people, and then all this neighborhood stuff. So I'm not. You can obviously, it's Channel Zero. We reported on this before. It's based on creepypasta stories, and you can look up that one. I'm sure that's the name of it. What was it? No End House?
Yeah, No End House.
I'm sure if you look that up, you can see what that story is and what the story is about. And
or at least the basis of the story.
The basis of it, so that you have more context for what's going on. Yes, but if it's anything like season one, they're just using that creepypasta as a launching point to do this whole other huge thing.
Well, no, exactly where, like, the No End House, like, I guarantee you there are a plethora of stories on the creepypasta about the No End House.
Yes.
Because in the beginning...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Because in the beginning, the guy straight up says, you know, it gets into your head, everybody has a different experience.
Right, okay, so other people are contributing No End House stories, but they're all different because they're from... Okay, that's interesting.
Too. Exactly, but I have a feeling, like, the setting is what they're taking. And that's probably about it.
And I do have to say, though, my one criticism of the trailer is... So it's somehow set up, there's, like, multiple rooms, or 6 rooms, it says at the end.
Yeah, apparently.
And someone's doing a little voiceover thing, and he's like... And anyone who's gotten to the 6th room... has never been seen again, or has never gotten out alive, or something. And I'm like, man, then how do you know they got to the 6th room? How do you know? They can't come back and let you know.
And be like, yo, bro, I made it. I mean, I'm dead now, but I made it.
I know I'm dead. You'll never see me again, even including this, but I made it. How do you know? Anyway, it's a pretty creepy little teaser.
It
is. And the show starts September 20th, and that first season was like the most slept on thing on TV all of last year, so... Mm-hmm. People need to watch that first season on the Sci-Fi Channel, of all things, and get on this one.
I just want to see more John Carroll Lynch.
Yeah, I love that guy in anything. He's awesome. Great.
Yeah. I mean, I started watching him as Drew Carey's cross-dressing brother.
Yes.
On the Drew Carey Show.
Yeah.
And then after seeing him in Zodiac, like, my mind was just fucking...
And then he keeps popping up here and there, and all of a sudden he's a Zodiac.
No, he is Zodiac.
And then he keeps...
As far as I'm concerned, John Carroll Lynch is the Zodiac Killer.
Guy's super talented. I'm a big fan. September 20th is when season 2 of that show starts. I hope it's also, again, like 6 episodes, Steppy. I liked how the first season was really tight.
Nice and short and tight. They didn't try to linger on anything.
Like, we gotta make this last 12 episodes.
No, fucking just make it, damn it.
Yeah, just tell the story.
Tell your story. Call it a day.
That last episode. I just want to rewatch that last episode.
That episode's fucking good.
All right, there you go. That's it. That's all we're talking about. Thank you, Drew.
Very welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Check out everything we got on pftmedia.com, and we'll be back this Sunday with a returning guest. He hasn't been on in a long time. I'm very excited for him to be here. So you have that to look forward to. Talk to you soon.
A PFT Media production.